afternoon. Welcome to Why Shamanism Now, a practical path to authenticity with your host, Christina Pratt, director of the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. She's talking about how shamanic skills can bring us to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, especially when nothing else can. Now, here's your host, Christina Pratt.
Welcome, everyone, to Why Shamanism Now. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'd like to call in the spirits to be with us here today. I call out to the ancestors of everyone listening on this show, bringing all that is good and true and beautiful into your lives. I call out to Sandy's ancestors and my own that we might speak well here. We all stand on their shoulders, and we ask that we could listen and speak and be together in a way today that brings us all that much more able to live out our soul's true purpose. And in doing so, that we could send healing up the ancestral line and forward into the lives of the descendants. I call out to the energy of the earth to be a firm foundation beneath our feet to bring us rest and restoration and help us to know that we belong, not only to our families and our ancestors and our descendants, but to each other all around this beautiful globe that we share. And I call out to the energy of the sky to be with us here today to inspire us and to bring us blessings on our time here together and to hold us well, hold us in a protective sphere that we might speak from the heart and listen with generous ears. And I call out today to the energy of the heart itself, that wonderful place within each one of us that all of the realms come together, that place where the passions of our being and the clarity of our mind merge and help us to know to live how to live our soul's purpose in this life. So with all of these energies here gathered, may we speak today of things that have heart and meaning. So today I would like to welcome our guest, Sandra Ingerman. Thank you for being with us here today, Sandy.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So today we're going to talk about shamanism in general. What's going on today, challenges, possibilities, inspirations, and whatever else comes up. For those of you who don't know, I can't imagine anyone doesn't, but for those of you that don't know, Sandy is recognized internationally for addressing the needs of our contemporary times directly by bridging ancient cross-cultural healing methods with our modern culture. She is the author of many excellent books, Soul Retrieval, Medicine for the Earth, How to Heal Toxic Thoughts, and many others. She's still teaching workshops internationally on shamanic journeying, healing, and reversing not only environmental pollution, but our own personal pollution, and by using spiritual methods. If you want more information about Sandy and everything that we're talking about today, her website is sandraingerman.com. And for those of you who don't know, I-N-G-E-R-M-A-N, ingerman.com. There's books, CDs, DVDs, one of the best references on shamanic journeying out there, which is her Shamanic Journeying, A Beginner's Guide, as well as her calendar of events, trainings, and announcements. So it's all there for you online. So anyway, I have invited Sandy to be with us here today because personally I feel that of all of the teachers out there, she is the one of greatest integrity and heart.
Well, thank you.
And what I would like to talk with Sandy about today is just what is happening in contemporary shamanism. And what is our future in shamanism and how it can affect the planet and the times? But before we get there, Sandy, I would love if you, well, part of what I try to help people understand on the show is, yes, they're amazing people on the show, but everybody has some amazing gift or unique genius to bring to the world. So I'd like to start with how you got from being a regular, everyday, ordinary American person to a person who's so inspired and is able to do that in the world today. So What were the looking back?
Sure, yeah. Well, I don't know if I was ever a regular, ordinary person, just because when I was a little kid, I had so many different spiritual experiences and didn't really know what to do with them. And so I had an ordinary life and did my regular job and got my BA in marine biology and, you know, kept on going and got my went for my master's in counseling psychology, and while I was going to school, I was going to a private graduate school, and I was working like 60 hours a week to put myself through school and taking all these courses, and I heard about a course on shamanism, and I didn't even know what shamanism was, but I actually heard I could get two easy units if I signed up for this course, and so I did. And it turned out to be an anthropologist by the name of Michael Harner teaching a workshop called The Way of the Shaman. And the power that the work brought to me was really to give me a structure to work with my own spiritual experiences that I started having as a child. Because as a child, like many of us, I'm not alone in this particular issue, many of us had helping spirits and saw different invisible beings when they were children, but we didn't really know what to do with them. And of course, those of us who are socialized in this culture are told, stop talking to your imaginary friends, study harder, get a good job, and we tend to close the door on the invisible world. I never closed the door on the invisible worlds, but I never knew what to do with them either. And basically, to know that there were these invisible worlds in that world, and that we could have a richer, deeper life was a real source of frustration for me growing up. And I grew up in New York, and it was actually what caused me to leave New York was when I was 18 years old, I said there had to be more to life than, you know, what I was experiencing of just getting up and going to a 9-to-5 job and coming home and watching TV and going to sleep. And so I went to California, to San Francisco, looking for some way to find people who were interested in more of a deeper life experience, as I knew was possible from the spiritual experiences I had as a kid.
So what now is the thing that's just most special for you about having shamanism in your life?
Well, shamanism has been great for me personally. If I never shared it with another person on the planet, you know, I have to say that it was an incredible gift for me to learn about the practice of shamanism, because the practice of shamanism is a method of direct revelation of a way to get personal spiritual guidance and healing. And so to be able to feel that I'm not alone and there are these helping spirits who, you know, who are always with me and who can help me go through painful life experiences that we all have. We're all growing right now. We're in a time of change and transition. And to be able to have that guidance for myself is really wonderful. But it's also an incredible time on the planet to be part of a transition where people are opening up more to the invisible, not necessarily shamanism, but, you know, different forms mm-hmm. of spirituality, so that we can start to work together to change where the future of the planet is going. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that if we don't change how we live our lives, you know, where the planet's going to go. So it's been an incredible gift to me personally as far as the spiritual guidance that I've gotten for myself and how to teach others to be real conscious change makers on mm-hmm. the planet right now.
So what is... Or do you have a sense of some aspect of shamanism that is unique? Not that it's the only way to go, and there are all these different ways of connecting with spirit, and we all need to be doing it now, certainly. Mm-hmm. But what is it for you that is unique about shamanism that in this group of ways to communicate with spirit?
Well, I think you know, shamanism believes that everything is alive and that everything has a spirit. And so with the practice of shamanism, it brings us into such direct connection with nature. You know, beyond the fact, oh, the planet's really beautiful, but it teaches us how to communicate with the trees and how to communicate with the plants and how to communicate with the spirit of air and how to communicate with the spirit of water. And the different elements, fire, the earth itself, the animals, so that it really helps us to really get that we're part of a web of life. And I know in quantum physics and Zen Buddhism, you know, we talk about the interconnectedness of the web of life, but the thing that shamanism really has is it puts you into such direct revelation with nature as a helping spirit itself, and how to really work with the elements and how to really connect with the spirit of place where you live and how to connect with all the living beings of where you live and on the planet too. That's something, personally, I really think is unique to the spirit of shamanism.
And do you have a sense that everything that you've just described there, that uniqueness, has value to anybody, whether they're a car mechanic or a lawyer or...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when we're part of nature, we are nature. We're creatures, we're animals. And so what's happened in a modern-day culture is that we've separated ourselves from nature. And personally, I believe that that's one of the greatest causes of illness on the planet. It's not just what creates personal illness, but it's also creating planetary illness right now, because we do see ourselves as separate. We're living our lives against the river of life instead of going with the river of life. So we're not living in harmony, and that it doesn't matter what profession that you're in, once you start to connect with the fact that nature is alive and that everything in nature is alive, then you start to move into a place of honor and respect. And once we move into a place of honor and respect, we move into more of a place of harmony. And once you're in a place of harmony, healing can happen for yourself and also on the planet, too.
So given this incredible potential in shamanism, which, you know, we're certainly not the first group of people on the planet to be trying to point this out.
Right, yeah.
It's been around for a really long time and endures. Mm-hmm. In spite, you know, serious attempts to wipe it out.
Right.
You know, so there's this great potential here. What do you feel are there any particular contemporary hurdles that shamanism faces in infusing into people's lives in a more kind of common way, I guess?
Right. Well, you know, I'm writing a book right now, and one of the things my publisher says is, you know, shamanism really hasn't made a complete leap into a mainstream culture. And one of my responses to that, because I hear that a lot from my students and different publishers, I mean, it's, you know, shamanism is very popular right now, and there's a huge resurgence of it, but it really hasn't made it into a mainstream culture like meditation has.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it ever will, because shamanism is not a religion, but it does work with the principle of there are helping spirits. And because of a lot of the, you know, religious belief system that we deal with in our culture, I do believe that ancient religions were all talking to the animals and talking to the spirits of nature. But there is a belief in a modern-day religious culture that talking to spirits is not a good thing. You know, that there's one God and, you know, I mean, all the stuff that religion tends to bring to us, where one of the powers of shamanism is the principle of direct revelation, that you don't need anybody between you and the spirits and God. But in saying that, there's still a belief that it's not okay to be talking to helping spirits. And so that is a hurdle. But there are different ways that people can start to bring into their life a shamanic state of consciousness without actually working with helping spirits, which is just to be in a place of honoring and respecting nature more, because that is such an essential part of shamanism. And so I think that that's a piece that everybody can do.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that. We need to go to a break, and then we'll come back from the break and continue with that. And for those of you that didn't hear in the beginning, you can connect to Sandy's site at sandraingerman.com. And we'll be back after this short break. Welcome back, everyone. As the nice lady just reminded you, we are live today with Sandra Ingerman, and you're welcome to call in at 866-472-5795 for questions for Sandy, or you can email at christina@lastmasscenter.org, and we'll bring your questions into the show. But for now, since we don't have any questions yet, we're going to go back to what Sandy was saying right before the break, which was that we can begin to engage with shamanic awareness without necessarily diving deeply into shamanic skills by just opening up and being connected to the actual natural world around us. Is that fair, Sandy?
Absolutely. It brings us back to a state of balance and feeling of well-being.
And, you know, this whole, I've talked a lot on several shows about just how damaging this idea is that we are separate.
Right, yeah.
And how isolating and sad, frankly, it makes
right.
us.
Oh, we've become a virus by ourselves as separate.
And, you know, and it's not really that hard to just sort of change your mind.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, people sort of want a healing for that, and I keep saying, well, you know, you really just need to change your mind.
Right, and you just need to go out into nature a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And it'd be nice if, you know, cities thought about that when they're city planning and such. But anyway, one of the things, as I was preparing for today's show, I was looking at Sandy's books and thinking about things, and I really saw how one of the great gifts that Sandy brings to us is a lot of really effective and, you know, well-written, clear ways to clean up our mess. The way I see it is cleaning up our toxicity on the planet and our toxicity within ourselves. And I know that, I mean, every spiritual practice on the face of the planet talks about how our inner world is reflected in the outer world, so our inner toxicity is this outer toxicity, which many of us can grasp, but a lot of people don't know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I was thinking is maybe we talk about medicine for the earth first, mm-hmm. and maybe you could give us just a little idea about the book, but also what inspired you to write Medicine for the Earth?
Well, I'll start with that, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the book. As I said in the very beginning of the show, I do have a degree in marine biology, and I've always loved rivers. And so I had actually made a decision to get my master's in biology and do my thesis on the reversal of river pollution. And I applied to a school, and I actually got accepted to the school on the basis of my thesis. And then I realized I wasn't a scientist, and I missed working with people. So I went back and got my master's in counseling psychology. But when I got into shamanism and I started consulting with my helping spirits, my interest in working with the spirits was how do we use spiritual methods to be able to reverse environmental pollution. And so that led me into what I call the Medicine for the Earth work, the basis of the Medicine for the Earth work is really working with that esoteric principle of as above, so below, as within, so without, which is, as you said, is that our outer world is merely a reflection of our inner state of consciousness, and if we want to change our outer world, we have to change our inner state of consciousness. And there are different ways to do that. One of the things that I wrote about in Medicine for the Earth was reconnecting with nature, because honor and respect is a really big way of being able to clean up the planet right now. If people would just honor the earth, air, water, and the sun for all the life that these elements bring to us, I would be willing to bet my life on how much of our environmental crisis would change with just that one action, giving thanks to the elements for the life that they bring to us. And to start to go beyond this principle of separation. And in Medicine for the Earth, I talk about the process of transfiguration, which is, in a modern-day culture, we oftentimes talk about body, mind, and spirit. When you take away the body, when you take away the mind, what we are is spiritual beings. We are spiritual light that are clothed in human form to be able to have this incredible sensory experience of living on this planet, being able to see the brilliant colors and hear the amazing sounds and smell the fragrances and touch things, you know, and taste. You know, that's an incredible gift and an amazing gift. But we also have to remember that we're more than that, that we're actually spiritual light. And that's a real key to the Medicine for the Earth work. And then the other key to the Medicine for the Earth work is it's who we become that changes the world, not what we do. So you can't say that you want peace on the planet and walk around angry all day long. So a real key to the medicine for the earth work is how to transform out the energy behind our negative states of consciousness so that we're actually living the life in a way that will manifest the planet that we want to live on. And also to realize that we are all creative beings, and that we can work together as a global community to see, hear, feel, taste, and smell the world that we want to live in. It's not just up to one person to do that. It's all of our responsibilities to tap into our creative brilliance right now.
Do you have a favorite story of this transfiguration from all this medicine from the earth work that you could share?
Well, I do. I mean, I have tons of stories from all my years of teaching. But we did experiments, we still do in the Medicine for the Earth work, where we've taken water that we intentionally pollute with some ammonium hydroxide. Ammonium hydroxide is a real common pollutant on the planet, and it comes about by organic waste. And basically, we don't focus on the water. We don't meditate on the water. We don't try and change the water. I just teach groups how to drop the body, drop the mind, and actually become spiritual light, knowing that the water will reflect back that divine perfection. And it's really been amazing because we've conducted these experiments all over the world. I've traveled all through Europe teaching Medicine for the Earth workshops, and the water always changes towards neutral. And we don't do anything. I tell the group, forget the water is even in the room. And then I found that it wasn't, you know, we're mostly water. So I wonder what would happen if we put people who were experiencing illness in the middle of the room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we started also having all kinds of miraculous healings that were happening. One woman, actually many, many years ago, and she's still in a good state of health since our transfiguration exercise, was really crippled with lupus, and we put her in the middle of the circle with the water. And again, we didn't pray for anything. We didn't try and change anything. We just changed ourselves, and she came through with a real spontaneous healing. So those are two of my favorite stories that I like to tell.
That's great. So how did you get from there? So what then inspired the How to Heal Toxic Thoughts book?
Well, shamanism is about living our lives, and I think that one of the biggest mistakes people make in working with shamanic practice is it's almost like meditation and yoga. If I just do it for an hour a day, this is all I need to do. But shamanism is actually a way of life. And so the How to Heal Toxic Thoughts is a piece of the Medicine for the Earth work. I just tried to make it a little bit more mainstream. And the bottom line of it is we're not going to change the planet if we just sit and meditate for an hour in the morning or do a shamanic practice an hour in the morning and then go out and we're just an angry person for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live it minute by minute. And I'm not saying that anger is bad. I'm not saying frustration is bad. I'm not saying anxiety is bad or depression is bad. We're human beings, and part of having an ego is having a whole wealth of emotions that go with it. It's part of the human condition. It's part of our journey in life. But it is important to understand that there is an energy behind those emotions. And so when we walk around being angry all the time, we're actually shooting out psychic darts, psychic arrows to other people and to ourselves. And it's affecting the health of others, it's affecting the health of ourselves, and it's affecting the health of the planet. So what all I'm suggesting is, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. So we'll come back and continue with this and find out what Sandy's suggesting. We come back in the next part and talk also with Sandy about what's most exciting to her right now in her work. So thank you all for being with us this afternoon. We are live, so feel free to call in or send us an email. Welcome back, everyone. We have Sandra Ingerman with us this afternoon, and we were talking about two books that she's written and the processes in those books about cleaning up toxicity, both in the outer world by working on the toxicity within, but then also we were talking about a book she's written called How to Heal Toxic Thoughts, which focuses even more so on doing our internal work and our recognition of ourselves as beings of light so that we don't walk around through the day not just feeling emotions, but feeling emotions that create toxicity in our environment and within ourselves. And so Sandy was just about to talk to us about sort of what matters the most in that work.
Well, to just kind of go back a little bit, we use certain terminology in our culture all the time. Like, I constantly hear things like, I felt like I was shot down at the meeting. I felt like I was kicked when I was down. I felt like a bomb went off in the middle of the meeting when mm-hmm. this person burst out. I felt like I was held hostage. And we don't realize how many terrorist terms we actually use throughout the day, and that from a shamanic point of view, energetically, you were shot, you were kicked, there was a bomb that went off, you were held hostage from an energetic point of view. And so the point is, what we need to learn how to do is to actually affirm and acknowledge, this is how I'm feeling right now. I'm angry right now, and that's okay. But to actually ask for the energy behind that anger to be transformed to an energy of love and light that goes out to feed everybody in the room that you're in, everybody on the planet, and yourself too. And that's classic shamanism. It's classic shamanism. It's just been lost a bit in our modern-day world because we move so fast, and through stress, we don't pay attention to the actual energies that are going out into our environment.
Well, and even in some of the shamanism as it's being reintroduced, it seems there's such a focus on empowerment and gathering power and not necessarily that looking back in your wake and seeing what you're creating along the way.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, if I was going to say what is my complaint about the resurgence of shamanism is that it's turned into a series of methods instead of a way of life. And the core of shamanism is it's a way of life. And so we have to start looking at how we shift our consciousness and how we shift our awareness to be, as I use the term, conscious change makers on the planet.
Well, it seems to me that, I know, I guess I would say from my own experience, that coming into shamanism forced a paradigm shift on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sometimes, and I think I'm wondering if this is what you mean by the whole series of methods, is that they're just like, it's like learning acupuncture or something, but not understanding the whole paradigm behind it.
Right. There's an energy behind it. It's not just follow your notes and it's this recipe
mm-hmm.
and boom, a miracle happens. There's an energy that has to go with that recipe in order for change to happen.
Yeah, and some people are sort of shocked when they say, well, I took the workshop.
Right. Yeah, and it is. It's a way of life, and it's something that people really have to understand. It doesn't mean it has to be a hard way of life, but a spiritual practice, I don't care if it's shamanism or meditation or whatever, that the core, what really started those practices is to bring it into your every moment awareness and consciousness.
Well, that is one thing I think that you've been addressing through your transmutation news.
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe that's something to talk about now is what do you feel are the challenges contemporary shamans face? Because you've written about things like surrender, freedom, letting go. These are not things that are definitely culturally sanctioned.
Well, I write a monthly column that I call the Transmutation News, and my reason for writing the column is to really keep people inspired to keep working in behalf of the planet and to have hope and optimism, because it's really easy to lose that in the world that we're living in today. And so I keep, I haven't missed a month since 1997.
Oh, and let me interject. And people, by the way, you just need to go to her website, sandraingerman.com, and click right on the navigation bar on Transmutation News, and you can go exactly to what she's talking about right now.
Yeah, and so, you know, I keep every month, I mean, I definitely loop, you know, since not missing a month since 1997, but I keep looking at what are different aspects of spiritual work that we really need to look at right now, and part of it has to do with that we are the creator of everything that's happening on the planet, but that we also have to surrender to the spiritual part of ourselves, not always the egoic part of ourselves. And again, as we see ourselves as separate, we get really attached to, from an egoic, childlike point of view, this is what would life would look like if I was wealthy or if I was healthy. But from a spiritual point of view, health and wealth and joy come from a completely different place. It's this burst like of inner, you know, an inner spring coming forward. And we have to learn how to surrender to that spiritual part of ourselves that actually has a bigger picture than that our own ego and mental way of looking at things we might be missing. And so it's blending those two together. It's not an either or. It's surrendering to the spiritual part of ourselves, but then it is our responsibility as human beings of what do I do to start to manifest that spiritual vision.
So if you were to talk about contemporary practitioners, I mean, what, there's one thing is to inspire them. Are there things you see that are just sort of patterns after all these years that contemporary practitioners get into that they need to break out of?
Yeah, I think that the world is changing so rapidly and people's issues are changing so rapidly, and we can't just put everybody into a standardized format of healing. Like if you go to a doctor for this form of cancer, you get this particular drug. That's a trap that for shamanic practitioners are starting to fall into, where you come to see a shamanic practitioner and there's a regimen of healing that goes on, instead of really looking at how do I need to change my healing work because the issues that are starting to come up are changing. And if we're just using all the standard methods that we've been taught in workshops, we're not changing our work. We're not allowing the spirits to talk to us about new, innovative, creative ways to deal with the different problems that people are happening right now. And that's what I'm seeing is the shortcoming of shamanic practitioners right now.
And then is there, I mean, if we take the next step, then my sense is that would mean there's also personal practices that practitioners need to be engaged in.
Right. You have to live the work. You know, you have to live the work. You can't just say that I see people in a private practice and I don't do the work myself.
Yeah.
And that's another shortfall that starts to happen. I'm too busy. There's too much going on in my life. I used to practice, but I don't have any time anymore. You know, we have to shift our priorities and make it a priority to live what we're teaching and to live the healing practices that we're doing with our clients.
Yeah, I find it interesting how many business people can't understand, like when I'm teaching a week-long workshop, I'm not available.
Right.
I'm not answering your email for a week. That's not a bad thing.
Right, yeah.
So there's another article you wrote actually now a couple years ago around healing trauma. And part of what you were doing in that article was talking, it seems to me, was looking at trauma through a shamanic lens, kind of versus kind of comparing and contrasting with looking through a psychological lens.
Mm-hmm.
And cautioning people, I think, in you know, sort of making shamanism easier by turning it into psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that article you also began to talk about, I think it was that article, about, you know, moving into movement and dance.
Right.
And embodying the healing experience, not in the mind.
Right. Well, there's been a tremendous amount of brain research that's that's gone on in the trauma field. I mean, in psychiatry and psychology, there's a lot more that's understood about what's happening in the brain. And what starts to happen with shamanic practice is that people, shamanic practitioners, have these brilliant journeys and get all this information about what happened to this person at a particular age in their life, and they share these incredible journeys and all the details and all of that. But when you're sharing that with a client, you're bringing them up to a mental state, and stories have never healed anybody. It's can the client actually feel like they've retrieved their essence and their life force into every cell of their being so that they're vibrating with power? And that's a body experience. That's not a mental experience. And
oh, so we'll come back to that topic as soon as we come back from this break, about the distinction between body experiences and mental experiences in the healing process and how shamanism gives us an avenue in to physically embodying and feeling that transformation. So thank you all for being with us this afternoon, and we'll be back again with Sandra Ingerman. Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Sandra Ingerman this afternoon, and I can't believe our hour is almost up. We've been having so much fun.
Yeah.
So Sandy was speaking beautifully right before that last break about the distinction, this opportunity in shamanic healing, through the shamanic healing, to actually feel the experience and to not lead our clients into our heads with the stories that come from the journeys, but to stay in the body and to feel the cells vibrating is where we were. So we'll let Sandy take off from there.
Yeah, in shamanism, we talk about bringing back the soul that got lost through trauma, but you have to really, soul is our essence, and you need to feel that essence throughout every cell of your being. And when we just hear a story about what happens, all of our energy moves up into our head and tries to figure things out, and that's not where healing comes from. So what I've started to teach in my workshops and what I do with my clients is, after I actually retrieve a part of a soul for somebody, I don't speak for about 20 minutes. And I play music, and I instruct my client to breathe deeply and to actually experience the light of their soul being absorbed, like the water would be absorbed in a sponge, or a flower that's been in the rain too long and the sun comes out and the flower's just taking in that sun. You know, I give different suggestions of metaphors the client might want to think about. Dance is another way for a person to really start to feel that energy moving into the body, but we have to go beyond the thinking that if we figure out what happened, that healing is going to come from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is most exciting about your work right now? What's the thing that's exciting you the most?
Well, I think that the exciting thing for me is there are two pieces. There is the trying to get people, I mean, I love shamanic healing and it's wonderful, but I'm very planet focused right now, and I do believe that we do have the ability to change what's happening. And my excitement is about teaching people how to do that, how we touch into our creative abilities. And then the other excitement for me is, how do we work together as a global community to start to use our unique individual gifts, but where we globally, energetically feed the vision that we really want to experience for the planet and all of life right now.
So is there a sense, if you could give people, you know, one thing that they could be doing personally that would contribute to that vision becoming a reality?
Well, yes. I mean, we all fall into, when we watch the news, you know, we all fall into, oh, it's hopeless and all of that. But really understand energy, that's what we're feeding them, the energy of hopelessness. And so, yes, you tap into that hopelessness, and then you get back on the horse and you do your work. You do your spiritual work, and your spiritual work is, what would the planet be like? how would it look? What would the sounds of the children laughing be like? What would the fresh air smell like? What would the bird sounds sound like? What would the taste of healthy, fresh food sound like? What would it feel like to touch a healthy planet? You know, to really get all the senses involved in being able to experience the planet that you want to live in, and to keep coming back to that, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling a healthy planet as if it's already been created, not that it will be like that in the future, but it's already here right now. And that's something that we can keep coming back to. And yes, we will have those moments of hopelessness throughout the day. It's just, okay, acknowledge that you're hopeless and then shift your energy to experience feeding the planetary vision that you want to see for all of life.
And then is there something that you could offer for people that are already starting to engage with others? So they're working communally or thinking about things as maybe even a nation, or some way to begin to bring that into a communal context?
Well, I think that one of the challenges that we really have right now, and the one thing that communities really need to focus on right now, is to get away from the whole thing that somebody has more power than you do. Tap into your own creative gifts, that you do have the ability to work, and what are your strengths instead of only focusing on your weaknesses, so that you're not constantly giving your power away. And to start getting out of that hierarchical point of view, I call it moving more into a horizontal point of view, that we all have a piece of the puzzle to share. And this is what my intuition is telling me. I had an intuitive hit that this is what we should do. Honor that. You know, don't give it up to, well, somebody knows better, back into a hierarchical way of looking at things, because that's not what the planet needs right now. What the planet needs right now is everybody to step up into their power and to get over the whole issue of jealousy and all those kinds of emotions, and to learn how to work together. That the principle of scarcity is a human-made principle. So let's move out of that. We all have the potential to create quite a bit for ourselves and also the planet at the same time. And tap into your spiritual gifts. Listen to your dreams. Listen to your intuition. And move forward with the guidance that you're being given.
And it seems to me part of what you're saying that I think is really beautiful is that we are in a time where we need to communicate it to others.
Yes, yes.
I can't tell you how many, you know, jokes there were from students about what they don't tell people at work about where they are on their vacation because they're doing shamanism. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that people need to come out of the closet.
Well, people need education.
Yeah.
And what I mean by education is not taking workshops. What I mean by education is understanding different ways of shifting consciousness, and that there is another viewpoint. And so the power that we can do right now as we speak about our own shamanic practice publicly instead of hide it is we can start to help shift consciousness on the planet right now.
And that shifting consciousness is going to matter.
Mm.
You know?
That's all that's going to matter, because basically what we're seeing is a manifestation of consciousness.
Yeah. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. I hope that you'll come back again in the future.
Absolutely. It's really been a great pleasure.
And I hope everybody tell people about the show and download it. Even these last pieces about what you could be doing personally and what you could be doing communally are wonderful messages. And I really do believe that it's not so much about big, grandiose gestures. It's about what we're willing to do daily.
It's the small. It really is the small steps that will create change.
I mean, there's such huge power in dailiness, and people
Absolutely.
Forget that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that often in getting this great answer from Spirit, but it seems too simple, so people don't do
it. It's just as simple as thanking the water when you drink it, thanking the earth when you eat your food, thank the air when you breathe, thank the sun for the life that it gives you. It's that simple.
Yeah, and it's that, it really is that powerful. Yes. So everybody, to connect with Sandy's work, her writing, her CDs, DVDs, all that stuff, all of her teachings, the transmutation news and everything, you can go to sandraingerman.com. If you're looking for a practitioner, you can go to another part of Sandy's site, which is shamanicteachers.com. So Sandy, I want to thank you again for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, and thanks for all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you. I thank your ancestors for dreaming you into existence so you could be here with us at this time. I thank the ancestors for holding us well this afternoon, the earth for this beautiful foundation below our feet, and the sky above for its inspiration. And I thank the heart in each one of us that connects us all and helps us to remember in those sacred moments that we are all one community and we have only one planet. So let's envision a possible future for it. Thank you, everyone. And next week, we're going to talk about shamanism, passion, and sex. Thank you all. Remember that the show is available through downloads from the Voice America site and also through iTunes. If you want any more information about my work, you can find it at lastmaskcenter.org. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, and we look forward to having you with us next week.